was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old made new, Jesus, when I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness to your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. I needed rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you called my name, I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness into your glorious day.
Amen and good morning, GBF. It's good to see all of you here today. It's a little chilly out there, amen. I love it. I don't know about y'all, but I love it. We're going to start the book of Acts today. And we finished Galatians up, and we're going to start the book of Acts this morning. If you're a guest with us here today, there's a place in your bulletin that says, "Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship." You can fill that out and then tear that off and put it in a little wood offering box back there by the double doors, and that lets us know who was here worshiping the Lord with us today. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. And as you just bow your heads and close your eyes and get in your inner room right here with you and the Lord, I'm going to ask you this morning, whatever you have going on in your life, lay it at His feet right now. Whether it's good, bad, hurtful, painful, whatever it is, whatever's going on, lay it at His feet right now and get focused on Him. Make this next hour about worshiping Jesus Christ. Make it about loving Him. Make it about glorifying Him. Don't let it be about you. That's not what we're here for. We're here for Him, to praise Him, to worship Him, and glorify Him. Heavenly Father, we come to You today. And we thank You, Lord, for the incredible way that You have loved us through Your Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sins on the cross and gave us eternal life when He rose from the grave. And Father, we thank You today for all Your blessings. Thank You for the incredible privilege that we have to be part of what You're doing, to be part of Your kingdom agenda. And we're going to talk about that today from Your word. And so, Lord, we thank You for providing that new land out there that we have. And we thank You for the building that's going up and what it's going to mean to people way out into the future, and how it's going to allow us to invite more and more people to come and hear the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank You for it, and we thank You for Your provision. We thank You for the building that's being built out there right now. Lord, help us to remember to continually pray and ask You for wisdom, divine wisdom and guidance as we move forward, being part of building Your kingdom. And it's exciting to know that children and teenagers, long after we're gone, are going to be leaders. They're going to be Christian leaders in this community and in this church and in this area. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that You just call children and teenagers to Yourself and help them to come to know You in a very personal and intimate way. And I thank You for when You did that in my life, right after I graduated high school, and how You changed my life forever. Today, Lord, we just want to be a blessing to You. And we want to honor You with this service. I pray that as we sing these songs, we don't just sing songs, because that's not worship. Worship is when we mean it from our heart. When we mean every word that we sing from the bottom of our hearts. And today we just pray, as we continue singing in a moment, that we would just worship You and praise You. And Lord, we pray that You would take Your word and You would open our minds to the truth, and the heart and our hearts to the truth of Your word this morning, so that it makes a difference in our lives. That's worship. And that's what we're here for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously safe from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
It's fine, because we were going to take a break right there anyway. As you guys know, Easter is coming up in a few weeks, and I have this thing, just like when we're building up to Christmas, we get, you know, 3 or 4 weeks out, we start singing those Christmas songs. And while, you know, any of those songs, any Easter songs are appropriate all year long, of course, this is the week that I start playing those Easter songs. So you're going to learn a new one right now, because we will be playing it on Easter, so I need to teach it to you today. The chorus is very, very simple. It's just, Friday's good because Sunday's coming. Okay, that's the name of the song. Don't lose hope because Sunday's coming. Devil, you're done. You better start running. Friday's good because Sunday's coming. So y'all sing this with me.
Great light dawns in Galilee. Some say madmen, some say king. Wonder-working rebel priest. Jesus Christ the Nazarene. He knew well what it would take to free us all from sin and grave. A perfect man would have to die, and only he could pay that price. Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. Don't lose hope 'cause Sunday's coming. Devil, you're done, you better start running. Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. So he let those soldiers take him in, as his friend betrayed him with a kiss. There before the mocking crowd, like a lamb to the slaughter, didn't make a sound. Then he carried that cross to Calvary, and he shed his blood to set us free. As the nails went in and the sky went dark, The redemption of the world was on his heart. Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. Don't lose hope 'cause Sunday's coming. Devil, you're done, you better start running. Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. Then he breathed his last and bowed his head. The Son of God and man was dead. With bloody hands, tears on their face, they laid him down inside that grave. But that wasn't the end. That wasn't the end. That wasn't the end. Let me tell you what happened next. The women came before the dawn to find that stone already gone. When they looked inside, the angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's alive, he's alive, hallelujah, he's alive. Give him praise, lift him high, hallelujah, he's alive. He's alive, he's alive, hallelujah, he's alive. Give him praise, lift him high, hallelujah, he's alive. Now Jesus reigns upon the throne. All heaven sings to him alone. We watch and wait like a bride for a groom. Oh, church, arise. He's coming soon. Soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Father, we thank you that we can look to you. We can look to your Son, the sacrifice that he made on the cross, what we're coming to celebrate, Father. We thank you for providing that way for us, because there is no other way. There's nothing that we could do in the best of our times to earn the grace that you've given us. In our worst of times, prove, Father, that we don't deserve it. So we thank you for that gift this morning. God, I just pray that as a church, that we would continue to seek you, not recognition for a building, not all these other things, but that we as individuals and as a church body would seek you, seek your will, seek to be close to you, to abide in you, and grow closer to you and be formed into the image of your Son. Father, we thank you for this amazing morning you've given us, where we can come here freely. We don't have to worry about what's going on outside. We know that you protect us. You've placed people in this building that are protecting us. And we can just lay all of those worries, all those fears at your feet and just worship you and rest in you in this time. So I pray that we are allowed to do that this morning, that we can be a blessing to you by being attentive, being open to your word. God, give us the discernment. Show us where we need to apply these words and help us to live it out when we leave here. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1 this morning. All right, we finished up the book of Galatians, and now we're going to jump into Acts. And this morning I'll read from Acts first, but then I'll go back to the end of Luke. And as you know, Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts. And I'll mention that a little bit more, explain that a little bit deeper as we continue. But let's just start here right now. The Old Testament begins with God creating and establishing a relationship with mankind. And it then introduces his covenants with the nation of Israel, which all, in one way or another, all point to the Messiah, to Jesus Christ. And then the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that are in the New Testament, the four books beginning the New Testament, were written to cover the life events of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in the book of Luke, it says, it covered all, or Luke says, I covered all that he began to do and began to teach. And Jesus, he covered Jesus' 30-plus years on earth. In fact, Luke showed us that Jesus was God in the flesh. And as you know, Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, shows us that the book actually says, Matthew says he will be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. So the four gospel accounts tell the story. In fact, the very word gospel means story of. The four gospel accounts tell the story of how Jesus, God with us, came to fulfill all the Old Testament covenants and then establish a new covenant with mankind. And then the book of Acts was written to cover the beginning of that new covenant and the beginning of the first church, along with its amazing growth in the 30 years following Christ's death and resurrection. And so while Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John record everything Jesus began to do and teach, Acts 1:1, the book of Acts goes on to record how his apostles and his church would carry on his kingdom agenda, Acts 1:3, for another 30 years to the rest of the known world. And so Acts shows the history of the first church and how the church would become Christ's chosen vehicle, so to speak, to carry on the work he began while he was here on this earth. And that's where we pick up in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 this morning. This is Luke speaking, obviously. The first account I composed, Theophilus, and most people believe that this man Theophilus was probably a wealthy man that hired Luke to literally write down the history of everything Jesus did and in the history of the first church. And people did that all the time back then, especially wealthy people. They might want a history of their family. And so they would write someone to write down all the things that their family had been through and gone through. And so Luke says, "The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. To these, Jesus also presented himself alive after his suffering on the cross, by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days, and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God." And so after his resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples, proving to them time and time again that it was really him, that he had really risen from the dead. And then he also spent time with them correcting their theology on what the kingdom of God would really look like. Verse 4, "Gathering them together, Jesus commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which he said, 'You've heard from me. For John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' And so when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, 'Lord, is it at this time that you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel?' And Jesus said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times,'" meaning the dates and the seasons, "'which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power.'" Notice he changes their focus here back to what he was talking about. "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." That's what Jesus has called the church to be, his witness. "And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth," the Bible says. And so Jesus is actually telling them to quit focusing on when God will restore Israel and start focusing on being his witness and taking the gospel message, the message of salvation, to the ends of the earth. All right, let's go back to the end of Luke for a moment. It's in your notes. After Christ's resurrection and before his ascension to heaven, Jesus taught this to his disciples. "Now Jesus said to them, 'These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms,'" meaning the entire Old Testament, "must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to fully understand the scriptures, and he said to them, 'Thus it is written that the Christ,'" and the word Christ, as you know, means Savior, right? Like Messiah means Savior and or Deliverer. Christ means Savior and or Deliverer. "That the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things, Jesus tells them. And he goes on to tell them in verse 49, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, and you are to stay in the city of Jerusalem, until you are clothed with power from on high. And after that, in verse, the Bible says in verse 51, while he was blessing them, he parted from them, and he was carried up into heaven. So Jesus promised his disciples that he was going to send them the promise of his Father, which was the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit would empower them to carry his message of salvation and to lead his church. And Christ's church would become his chosen strategy for reaching the rest of the world with the gospel message. That's what the church is supposed to be about, amen? Put another way, point number one in your notes, Christ's church would become his chosen strategy for carrying on all that Jesus began to do and teach. Christ's church would become his chosen strategy for carrying on all that Jesus began to do and teach, which was literally die for the sins of the world. And this was to be their focus. This is the focus of Acts. And so Luke recorded that Jesus, all that Jesus began to do and teach, while Acts recorded what Jesus continued to do by the power of the Holy Spirit and through his church. Bottom line, God was redeeming a people for himself that would become his own precious possession, purchased with the blood of his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. And these people are known as Christ's church. They're known as Christ's followers, Christians. Now look back at verses 4 through 5 in Acts chapter 1. Luke says, gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father and what he had promised, which he said, you've heard from me, for John baptized you with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, a more literal translation of verse 5 reads like this, you will be baptized into the Holy Spirit. And in ancient times, when a person was baptized into the fellowship of any group of people, baptized into the fellowship of any society, they were completely immersed in water, symbolizing that they were completely identifying with that group. That's what that symbolized. They came out completely soaked with water all over them, symbolizing that they were completely identifying with this society of people. And after being completely submerged, the idea was that the person was now one of the members of that society, one of the members of that group of people. Therefore, the baptized person now had, listen to this, don't miss this, had the responsibility of correctly representing the society he was baptized into. That person now had the responsibility of correctly representing the group of people and what they stood for, which leads us to point number two this morning. Number one, Christ's church would become his chosen strategy for carrying on all that Jesus began to do and teach. That's what the church is called to do. That's what we're called to do, to carry on all that Jesus did and all that Jesus taught. Number two, once a person is baptized into the Holy Spirit, that person is now a member of Christ's church, of his body, and the recipient of all the rights, powers, and responsibilities of properly representing Christ's kingdom agenda to the rest of the world. Meaning, listen to me very closely here, we represent Christ, all he did and all he taught, according to the Word of God. We don't make up how we think we should represent Christ. It's already been given to us in his Word. We don't go do our own thing for God. It's already been given to us in His Word. And He has called us to properly represent His kingdom according to His Word to the rest of the world. That's what we're called. We're not called to mix in with the world and kind of become like the world and live a little like Jesus, but then a little like the world over here either. We are called to live for Jesus Christ alone and properly represent Him, not make up stuff, but properly represent Him according to God's Word. Now, it's important to notice that before the Holy Spirit resided in Christ's followers, y'all got to hang with me for a second. I made the mistake of taking one of those muscle relaxer deals last night. I forgot. I can't take one of those on a Saturday night. Okay, where was I? It's important to notice that before the Holy Spirit resided in Christ's followers, listen to this closely, they had no purpose. They had no goals. They had no courage. They had no guidance. Was that like outside somewhere? I thought maybe somebody was on some big machinery outside working on the roads or something. Yeah, backing up. Exactly. So now it's important to notice, literally, before the Holy Spirit, listen to this. Before the Holy Spirit resided in Christ's followers, they had no idea what was going on. They were scared to death. They had no purpose. They had no goals. They had no courage. They had no guidance, and they had no power. In fact, that's why Jesus told them to wait. Stay right here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. But when the Holy Spirit empowered them at Pentecost, and we'll see that in Acts chapter 2, their lives would never be the same, amen? And during the beginning of the first church, the apostles were empowered by the Holy Spirit to perform miracles that would never be seen again, to preach and teach in the very synagogues that opposed them and oppressed them and their Lord. They would face crazy opposition. They would face unbelievable challenges, yet they would not flinch. And in spite of everything Satan would throw at them, they would continue to take the gospel of Jesus Christ across the known world. You may be here today and you may be thinking, man, I'd like to have that kind of power. I love power. Most men do. Most women do too, to be honest with you. Mankind loves power. And you may be thinking, man, how do I get that kind of power? Listen to this. Before you can experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, doing things in your life that you never would have ever dreamed or imagined, before you can experience the power of the Holy Spirit, you have to take up your cross. Before you can experience the power of God in your life, you have to be willing to take up your cross, to take up the responsibilities of Christ's kingdom agenda and quit living your own. And quit living for yourself. I'll never forget the day that hit me personally. I got saved when I was 18 and I was in my early 20s and selling aircraft parts for Skyline Industries in Fort Worth to the government of Israel, Bell Helicopter, all these places, making a lot of money. And I walked out of my apartment. And don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's anything wrong about having nice clothes or driving a nice car. But I walked out of my apartment. Actually, I was living in a two-bedroom condominium. And I walked out in my super nice clothes, super expensive clothes, about to get into my super nice brand-new sports car. And again, I'm not necessarily saying there's anything bad with those things. This is just my testimony. The Holy Spirit spoke to me, not in my ears, but in my head and in my heart, and said, Chris, your life. blessed yoke. You call yourself a Christ follower, but man, it's all about you. You're living for yourself and what you can get out of this world. I've called you to live for me. And that moment was a game changer for me. I had just decided, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep living this fake life, trying to impress everybody all the time, trying to make more money for myself. And I decided right there on that sidewalk, either live for Jesus or quit calling yourself a Christian, because he died for you. He shed his blood for you on the cross. So quit living this joke of a life that you're so proud of. Or start living for Christ, who you claim to follow. And the Lord began to make changes in my life. I began to do things that I would have never done in a million years, like get up in front of crowds of people. And I got to be honest with you, my biggest fear in my whole life was speaking in front of people. Y'all all have me scared to death right now. But I started getting up in front of big groups of people and telling them about Jesus and the changes that he made in my life. And all of a sudden, my life was no longer about my car, my clothes, and my nice condominium, and all the people that I could impress with those things. I just surrendered those things. And actually, to be honest with you, found a new freedom that I'd never experienced. If I were to be totally honest with you, I would tell you that my life up to that point had been all about impressing other people. And whatever way I went about trying to do that. But once you start taking up your cross, and once you start taking on the responsibilities of what it really means to be a Christ follower, and once you start living your life proclaiming the gospel message and properly representing Christ's kingdom agenda, your life will never be the same. And I can honestly tell you, I was probably about 25 when that happened, and I'm 62 now. I've never regretted a day of turning to Jesus. I've never regretted an hour of living for Jesus. I've never regretted one second of living my life for Jesus Christ and representing his kingdom. Point number three. Number one, Christ's church would become his chosen strategy for carrying on all that he began to do and teach. That's their purpose. That's the marching orders for us, his church. Number two, once a person is baptized into the Holy Spirit, that person is now a member of Christ's church, a recipient of all the rights, powers, and we want the rights and we want the power. But some of us don't want the responsibilities of properly representing our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and his kingdom to the rest of the world. Number three, Christ's church is not built by programs and marketing. Man's man's methods. Christ Church is not built. Listen, I have a marketing degree, and we probably have the worst marketing of any church in the area, because that's not what builds Christ Church. Christ Church is not going to be built by the sign we put out by the new building. I mean, are we going to have a sign? Sure, we're going to have a sign, because we want people to know we're there. But Christ Church is built by the proclamation of the gospel and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Christ Church is built when you and I start proclaiming the gospel message to our friends, our relatives, and our coworkers, and we live that gospel message in front of them. My life changed radically when I made that decision that day. And some people weren't my friends anymore, because I didn't go do the stuff they did anymore. Some people started making fun of me at work. I remember this one guy quit calling me Chris and started calling me Christy. I don't know what that was about, but anyway. But the bottom line is we live in a world that is opposed to what Jesus stands for. We live in a world that's opposed to his word. But the book of Acts shows us that Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to empower these anxious apostles, empower them to spread his gospel and lead his church in an incredibly hostile environment. We don't know what that's like. In fact, we don't even really have a clue what that's like. And the only way they would ever see people's lives changed was by proclaiming the gospel message and putting their faith in the Holy Spirit to bless God's word, to bless God's truth. Allow me to close this morning, and I want to share a real personal story with you about a friend of mine named Jeremy, and some of you who have already heard this story, I apologize for repeating myself, but I'll never forget New Year's Day one day. New Year's Day, a friend called me, and he said, Chris, I need you to go with me. I need you to get up and go with me. I was still in bed because even though it was New Year's Day and I was at home, I had the flu bad. And so I was still in bed. He said, I need you to get up and go with me because I need you to go with me to talk to my son-in-law. And I was hesitant for several reasons. The first is because I had the flu in a bad way. You know what I'm saying? And I said, Scott, you don't want this, and your son-in-law doesn't want this, so I think you need to call somebody else. But praise God, listen to me very closely, praise God for a father-in-law like Scott. Praise God for a father-in-law that his son-in-law was the most jacked-up dude on the planet, but the father-in-law kept loving him. Man, that's so powerful. So this father-in-law, Scott, is talking to me, and again, he's saying, I need you to get up and go with me. And I said, Scott, I have the flu. He said, I don't care. Get dressed. I'm coming to get you. But the second reason I didn't want to go with him is his son-in-law had dodged me like the plague for years because I represented something he didn't believe in and he wanted no part of. But anyway, I agreed. Scott came by and he picked me up. And on the way, Scott didn't say anything. And on the way, I just prayed. I prayed because I'm going to the house of the most sought after drug dealer in the Branson area. We lived in Branson, Missouri back then. And I was a little nervous about confronting this dude. But when I got there, I just went straight in, and Jeremy walked from the back of the house, and he walked towards me, and I just began to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. And I had to totally rely on the Holy Spirit because I was a young man in my 30s. I wasn't near as smooth and sophisticated as I am now. Sorry. I don't know why that came into my mind, but anyway. I had to totally rely on the Holy Spirit. I didn't know the gospel like I do now. Seriously, I didn't. I didn't know how to explain it like I do now. But when I explained the gospel to him the best I knew how, I invited him to surrender his life to Christ. And so I led him in a prayer, kind of like I do at the end of our services, where he confessed his sin to God and he asked Jesus to come into his life. And I get choked up because this dude is like one of my best friends. And I don't even remember how long it's been. I think it was like around the year 2000, to be honest with you. Because Andrea and I would take our three little kids and we'd drive, we were back in Texas by then, but we'd drive all the way back. Literally, this guy got saved 2 days, 3 days before we left Missouri and moved back to Texas. And we would drive all the way back and celebrate his spiritual birthday on New Year's Day with him. For years, we did that. Then Jeremy looked up at me and he said, "Now what?" And I said, "Well, we need to make two phone calls." Again, man, I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's leading this deal. I didn't have a plan. We need to make two phone calls, one to your boss, letting him know that you can't be there tonight, because I knew he'd been doing drugs. And then I'm going to call a friend of mine who's a deputy sheriff. He's going to come over here, and you're going to turn over all your drugs to him. And the look on Jeremy's face was priceless. We still laugh about it. And he started explaining to me that my plan wouldn't work, and that there had to be a better way than to handle all this than beside what I was telling him. And he told me this just a year ago. I'd completely forgotten this. But he told me this probably about a year ago on the phone. He said, "Irvin, I'll never forget it." He said, "Man, you looked me straight in the eye and said, 'Look, dude, either you trust Jesus or you don't. Which is it going to be?'" And he said, "I realized that either I start trusting Jesus or I go back to the life that I had." And he's married to Scott's daughter, who was a precious Christian young lady in our church with three little kids. And Nina and I had prayed for him for years. She would stop in my office and we'd pray for Jeremy. So he called his boss and told him everything. I said, "You got to come clean with your boss." He called his boss and actually got this dude out of some dinner that he was at, because he worked for this big corporation in, I don't remember the name of that city, north of Branson. What was the name of that city north of Branson? Springfield. He worked for a big corporation in Springfield, Missouri, and got his boss out of this dinner, and it was amazing the grace that this man showed Jeremy. Now, I mean, the dude's just saying, "Hey, I'm just letting you know I work for you, but I'm also a drug dealer and so on and so forth. But I've just accepted Christ, and I want to turn my life around, and I don't know what to do." And the man said, the man thanked him for calling and said, "Well, here's what we're going to do. You're going to get in professional counseling, and I'm going to pay for it. And then you have a job when you get out." And then Jeremy goes, "You know, Irvin, we were talking about this a while back." He goes, "You know, the thing is, I went to counseling, but I never once desired to use meth ever again." How does that happen? You know anything about meth? If you know what I know, you don't just stop using meth and never want it again. His boss was super, super gracious, and he got off the phone with his boss. I got on the phone with my friend at the sheriff's department, and that's when it started to get kind of wild. And when the deputy sheriff arrived, I explained that, I won't say his name, but I explained to the deputy sheriff that Jeremy had just surrendered his life to Christ and now wanted to turn over all the drugs in his house to him. He goes, "Okay." And so he knew whose house he was at, right? So all of a sudden he escorts Jeremy down to the basement. And Jeremy literally gives this dude all the drugs that he had in the house. And he came back up, the deputy friend of mine came back upstairs, and he walked over to me and he whispered, he said, "Man, Irvin, I've never seen this much meth in one bag before." And I just let him flush it all down the toilet. And I'm just letting you know that my career may have just got flushed down the toilet with the meth. Pastors a church in Missouri, one of the fastest growing churches in that area. His wife, his children are all grown and have children of their own, and they're all in that church. His father-in-law's one of the biggest helpers, one of his biggest aides. In that church. And you know what the Lord taught me that day? The Lord wasn't just working in Jeremy's life. In fact, Scott goes, "Man, I have never seen the power of God like that before in my life." This is what the Lord taught me. The same thing he taught King Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the battle is not yours. It's God's. You won't have to fight the battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance of the Lord. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will be with you. Jeremy's father-in-law, Scott, took me home that afternoon. And the last thing he said to me was, "I've never seen the power of God like that." And then a year later, Scott calls me and just thanks me for going with him that day. I mean, golly, it was a privilege for me, right? He said, "Man, Irvin, I can't go into a grocery store and not tell people about Jesus now." That's what we've been called to do. Not live our own lives and incorporate Jesus into our lives on Sunday morning. That life's a joke. I lived that life for years. It's a joke. People want God to change their lives. They want God to bless their lives, but they keep living for themselves. It's not that God doesn't want to bless, it's that you're blocking it. You're blocking his blessing when you're living your own program and doing your own thing your own way. God blesses his program and his plans, not yours and not mine. But you get on board with him and you pick up your cross and you start being part of God's kingdom and presenting the gospel, what Jesus Christ has done for you, to other people. And you watch the Holy Spirit come alongside you like you've never experienced in your life. But here's what I want you to see this morning as I close. That New Year's Day, I had all the excuses. I had all the excuses, and some of us are literally will walk out of here today and we'll be thinking of our excuses. Why I can't do this, why I can't do that. I'm too busy doing this, I'm too busy doing that. I had all the excuses I needed for not going to Jeremy's house and not sharing the gospel with him that day. I was really sick, I was scared, Jeremy hated me, and he hated what I stood for. But that day, thanks to Scott, I got up. I put all my faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit to bring it home. And the Lord changed my life that day. Changed Scott's life. Changed Jeremy's life. And there's been hundreds of lives changed since then. And in the same way, that is how God grows his church. Not through programs, not through methods, not through marketing. God grows his church because people are willing to follow him. They're willing to proclaim the gospel message and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how the first church took off. That's how in unbelievable opposition and unreal challenges, the first church took off and never looked back. And despite all of that, God's church continues to grow. And this is the last word in Acts. We'll get to it one day. Unhindered and still growing. Because against all odds, God's people trust in his word wholeheartedly, and they act and live their lives accordingly. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Maybe you're here today or you're watching online today and you'd like to believe the gospel message of salvation like Jeremy did that day. You want to believe the truth about your sin and how it separates you from God. Maybe today God has shown you your need to be saved. The Bible says God himself came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ to live a perfect life and die in your place on the cross for the payment of your sins. And so maybe today you'd like to quit struggling through life and accept God's free gift of eternal life. Like Jeremy did that day, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the forgiveness of your sins. If so, you might want to repeat a prayer somewhat like this. And these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. Lord, I realize that you are God in the flesh, that you are the Son of God and the only Savior of the world. And today, Lord Jesus, I want to put my trust in you and your sacrifice on the cross and your resurrection from the dead for my salvation. And I confess to you that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of your mercy and your forgiveness. I need your power in my life to turn from my sins and your grace to submit to your authority. Father, don't let me walk out of here with any more excuses. Forgive me for playing God and trying to run my own life. I'm ready to find the abundant life that only you can give. I'm ready for you to be the Lord and Savior of my life. And I'm ready to start living for you and proclaiming your message of salvation to everyone in my little world. Thank you for loving me enough to die for me, to save me from my sins and make me a child of God. Please empower me to properly represent you and your kingdom agenda by the way I live my life. I pray all these things in the name of the Lord, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friend, if you said that prayer or a prayer like that and you meant it in your heart, the Bible says now you're a child of God. The Bible says you're part of Christ's body. The Bible says you have eternal life. The Bible says all your sins have been forgiven and washed away. Matt's going to lead us in our closing song. I'll be here at the front. Let's stand and we sing this closing song together.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested, my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you. Oh, we're free, free, free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free. Forever, amen. When death was arrested, my life began. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested, my life began. When death was arrested, my life began. When death was arrested, my life began.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. You guys be seated for just a moment. Let me just remind everybody that Easter in the Park is on April 20th today, and next Sunday we have journey groups after church. But then on the 20th, April 20th, we're going to have it in the park, and it's going to start at 9:15 with breakfast, like we always do. We'll have guys out there cooking breakfast, and then we'll also have a sign-up sheet that you guys can sign up for, and probably get that online as well. And so I'll email you about that this week. And then don't forget VBS July 8th through 11th. And then on August, actually, it's Larry and I have talked. It's just going to be the 2nd and the 3rd. This is the marriage conference I've been telling you about. My two boys swear up and down the things they learned when they went to marriage counseling with Larry and Sherry have made their marriages just a real, real blessing. And so they're going to come share all that stuff with us on August 2nd and 3rd, okay? And I think that's all I have to share with you guys this morning. I love you, and thank you for being here and worshiping the Lord with us today. Let's stand, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and just the great blessing of being able to be here with family, our church family, and worship you. Lord, may we walk out of here today and share the gospel with someone else this week. Lord, help us to start praying to you even today who you would want us to share the gospel with this week as we go through our week. We love you and we praise you. And we thank you for the incredible love that you've shown for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.